translation. Please also describe the fruitive results of charity and penance and of digging reservoirs of water. Please describe the situation of persons who are away from home and also the duty of a man in an awkward position. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The digging of reservoirs of water for public use is a great work for charity, and retiring from family life after 50 years of age is a great act of penance performed by the sober human being. So let us repeat this together, the translation. Please also describe the fruitive results of charity and penance and of digging reservoirs of water. Please describe the situation of persons who are away from home and also the duty of a man in an awkward position. Thank you. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyan Gyana Shadakaya Chakshurun Militam Yana Tasmai Shri Guru Vay Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsta Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Tam Sajivam Hare Krishna Om Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, but digging of reservoirs of water for public use is a great work of charity. And retiring from family life after 50 years of age is a great act of penance performed by the sober human being. So, I have a His Holiness Keshav Maharaj's book Bhagavata. I'm trying to read something from here and something from Bhagavad Gita. And the link between the two, the last verse, 33, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about time. So we'll just summarize a little bit on Vedic time. Maitreya outlined various measurements of time, from the smallest fraction of a second up to the duration of 1 year. When Vidur inquired about durations beyond that, Maitreya continued his description. 4 yugas, which are Satya, Treta, Dwarpa and Kali. 4 yugas equals 1 Divya Yuga. Yes, 4 yugas equal 1 Divya Yuga. And 71 of these Divya Yugas is 1 Manvantara. The Lord appears in each Manvantara or a reign of Manu. 14 Manvantaras is 1 day of Brahma. 100 years of Brahma is 1 lifetime of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years, but celestial years. And 1 lifetime of Brahma is called 1 Nimesha. Moment, 0.43 seconds of Mahavishnu. So this was an interesting statistics. So Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only appear once in a day of Brahma, specifically in the 28th Divya Yuga of Vaivashvata Manu. Hearing of this mammoth time scales and the rarity of the Lord's personal appearance helps us to appreciate that although we are tiny living beings in the grand scheme of the cosmos, we are also extremely fortunate, because in this 28th Divya Yuga cycle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and Lord Krishna. So I thought that was quite relevant to point out today. And then we will discuss a lot about Vanaprastha later on. But first, we've got some quotations about why digging wells and all this is good for the human society. And there are two charities which I would like to mention. Well, one is official charity. It's called Water Aid. And they're doing wonderful work in Africa, especially. And, you know, the £2 or whatever you raise, it goes actually towards digging wells. So they get water for drinking and for hygiene purpose, and to get rid of dirty water, also pollution, you know, climate change. So wells have to be dug for clean water and washing clothes, etc., etc. And then maintenance of sewage has to be there. So these are all important aspects of charity work, but also it's good for welfare work for the society at large. Now, Nanda Maharaj actually mentions, and I will quote a verse. It is here. Nanda Maharaj says in 2.7, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2.7 and 48th verse, he says it's very important to help the public. Buy public roads, plant trees on both sides so they get some shade, and also oxygen is given by trees, it's very good. And wells for water. And people who do this and help others, they are pious people. This is what Nanda Maharaj is saying. To become pious, one has to do something for the welfare of the state. And simultaneously, one should perform devotional service to Krishna. So this is very important. And that makes us happy in our material condition of life also. If you get water, you feel happy. Before, long time ago, we used to go in Vrajamandal Parikram, and there was shortage of water. You know, it's not like nowadays. Some devotees in America, they sponsor water, and we have a truckload, in fact, one or two truckloads of water, big tanks, and they go in front of the they go ahead, basically, you know, one forest ahead. And they are there before we reach. We have to walk, you know, 10 miles or 12 miles per day. And when we reach to the site, one forest, these trucks are already there and they're ready to give us water in our water bottle. So one of the requirements is you should buy a water bottle at the start of the parikram. And then you get it filled up every stage, two or three times a day. So water is essential, but in the early days, we all had to actually go to a well, find a well, first of all, and then we go to the well, and then we, with our bucket, we go, and then from the well, we have to lift the other bucket up and then transfer into your own bucket. So it was quite austere, and it was exciting, adventurous, actually, the first few years of Vrajamandal Parikram. Nowadays, everything is more organized. And as I said, you know, tanks of water are there, available at every site. So this is only possible because, you know, people look at the welfare of the devotees and welfare of everyone involved. So it is a good thing to build reservoirs of water and wells. In our Rajkot temple, when we want to build the Rajkot temple, there was scarcity of water all round. And Maharaj, Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, he actually prayed so vehemently, you know, and prayed that we find some good wells. And luckily we found some well, and that helped in the building of the whole temple, Rajkot temple. It's now a very big, huge temple, marble temple, worth going to see. But the point is, water is needed everywhere. So from this water, now we get good drinking water also. So people who come to the temple, they get good drinking water. So that was a side things. Okay, so now we discuss charity, Bhagavad Gita 17:20. Let's have a look at what Bhagavad Gita tells us. 17:20. Right at the back. Right. So charity, Krishna is saying, you know, different instructions to Arjun, and regards charity, text number 20 of chapter 17 states, charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So in the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. There is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. Spiritual perfection is always a consideration. Therefore, charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage, at lunar and solar eclipses, or at the end of the month or to a qualified brahmana. Such charities should be given without consideration of return. So this is, people generally will do some work to get some pride, to get some recognition. Okay, I've done this. It should not be done like that. You're actually giving this water well or whatever for people, and you should not expect any results. Just do your job and leave the results to Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada in the purport to 23, he mentions later on, performance of charity, sacrifice and penance must be done in the mode of goodness. So he's emphasizing it must be done in the mode of goodness. So that's how charity should be performed. And I've talked about Nanda Maharaj, because he said that if you do this work, you become pious. Krishna likes pious people. So all the gopis of Vrindavan and all the residents of Vrindavan, they've accumulated tons and tons and tons of pious activities, and that is why they are personal associates of Krishna. Now we move on to the main subject, which is the vanaprastha, what one should do after 50 years of age. It's a great penance performed by the sober human being. So here, there's so many verses which help us from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'm in the beginning process of hopefully writing a book on vanaprastha. Beginner's guide. Beginner's guide. Vanaprastha in practice. So, after 50 years, one should go in Vedic scriptures, it says 51. One means a forest. So after 50 or thereabouts, one should reduce attachment to material activities, and one should increase attachment to Krishna and spiritual activities. So this is the age, 50 is the age recommended in the shastras to detach, start detaching. It's not an instant thing that you just move from grahastha ashram to vanapras quickly and then you move on later on to another level. But today I'm talking mainly about vanaprastha. And I'll tell a little bit of my story. My Guru Maharaj, Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, when I reached 50, this is all arrangement of Krishna through the Guru. Exactly when I was 50, my Guru Maharaj told me, you should now devote your whole life to full-time service in Krishna consciousness. So now I'm 67, so about 17 years, I've been assisting His Grace Gadadhar Prabhu, because Maharaj instructed him, requested him to help me in the service. So His Grace, you know, Gadadhar Prabhu always engages me in Pujari service. And there's so many activities in Pujari service. It's not always on the altar, but there's too much going on behind the scenes as well. So as you know, this Bhaktivedanta Manor is celebrating a festival almost every month. You know, there's this festival or that festival. So we are fully engaged in service of Radha Gokulananda. So there is no break. And we normally used to stay right till almost 2 o'clock in the morning to set up the festival for the next day. So behind the scenes there's a lot of service. And then people come in the morning and they see the beautiful decorations and Radha Gokulananda, and everyone's happy that Krishna is smiling. Krishna smiles when he's happy with the service of the devotees. So we are all fortunate that we get some chance to either come directly worship inside the altar or take worship from outside the altar. You know, people are coming, thousands of people are coming. In the early days in Janmashtami, people were wondering, why am I not called? Because everyone is in the winter coat and this and that, coming to the temple to take darshan. But I was then told by Gadadhar Prabhu to dish out, serve, you know, the abhishek, the charnamit, rather, charnamit. So in the cold, I was there and serving every guest who came for Janmashtami. It wasn't that big crowd, like, 70,000 people in 2 days. It was about 100 or 200 or maximum 500 people. But nevertheless, Krishna actually looks after you. When you are doing service, it doesn't matter whether it's snowing or this or that, He gives you the... He looks after you. You know, in 1866, He says, just surrender unto me and I will look after you. So this is what happens. He does look after you if you surrender. So that's the point there. So anyway, at age of 50, Maharaj told me, you just carry on with full-time service. So that direction was given when I was 50. Since then, different Maharajis and senior devotees like Shruti Dharma Prabhu, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj, encouraged me to go out with the brahmacharis. So more spiritual activities, and less family attachment. So, you know, when you go out on a brahmachari ashram, brahmachari retreat, you go to other retreats, you associate with Maharajis, you go with Maharajis, sannyasis, you travel with them, they're all senior devotees of Srila Prabhupada. you learn so much and you pick up a few hints what to do here and there, because they are all experienced. So associating with senior devotees, associating with pure devotees of the Lord, you also rub, you get some benefits, you get some kripa, mercy. So that's another thing. But all this, in the Varnashram system, one has to gradually engage more in devotional service, gradually engage more in spiritual activities, less in material activities. So by the time you are 50, hopefully your son has grown up or children have grown up to look after the mother, the wife. So this is the ideal system. For 0 to 25, or say 5 to 25, because Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj are examples of 5-year-olds who are performing devotional service. So from 5 years to 25 years, but according to calculations of 100 years on average of a human being's life, 25 years, first 25 is Brahmachari ashram. So what are you doing there? You're learning knowledge. You're acquiring knowledge. And then the Brahmachari has two choices. One is to continue the Brahmachari life, Naishthiki Brahmachari. Two is to enter Grahastha ashram. So all that training and knowledge can be applied in the Grahastha ashram. So in the Grahastha ashram, they are allowed to marry and produce children. So the idea of producing children is to make them Krishna conscious. That is the idea. Now if the children are Krishna conscious, when they grow up and you get married, hopefully at the age of 25 or between 25 and 30, then your children, when you are at 50, they are old enough to take care of your wife. So then you can gradually go out and come, and go out and come. So never think that once you've gone out, you can't come back. Now this stage, Vanaprastha stage, is a gradual process. So Maharaj Uttanapad in 4th canto, his son is Dhruva Maharaj. So you all know Dhruva Maharaj at the age of 5, he left. Why did he leave? To gain spiritual advancement. His mother told him that Krishna is there in the forest. So she went to find Krishna. And then you cannot find Krishna directly. You have to approach a spiritual master. So that in our Bhagavad Gita is very simply described. And then, who is it? I think, Arjun in 2.7, if I can find 2.7. No, it's Bhagavad Gita. 2.7, Krishna, Arjun surrenders to Krishna because Arjun is perplexed. So here in Srila Prabhupada's purport to that verse, 2.7, he says, by nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity. And therefore, it behooves one to approach a spiritual master who can give one proper guidance of to execute purpose of life. So all Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from this perplexity of life, which happens without our desire. You know, in the morning when we sing Samsara Dhava, that actually represents forest fire. And who can extinguish that forest fire? A spiritual master. He can extinguish that. So today was quite a historic day. In the morning with Mangalarti, we had a little fire alarm. But anyway, with the authorities, we managed to just control the situation. So fire can happen any time. That's the point. So this samsara is full of material desires, and we think of this and this and this. There is no peace. There is no peace. So in fact, Srila Prabhupada has written this Bhagavad Gita to help. The world situation is so complex that without this education which Srila Prabhupada is introducing through the distribution of Bhagavad Gita as it is all around the world, especially nowadays, December month is called Marathon, or actually Bhagavad Gita Jayanti is also in December. But to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavad Gita as it is a wonderful gift. It's the best charity, best charity. We're talking about charity for, digging wells. But better than any of this is to relieve a person from four defects. What is that? Birth, death, old age and disease. These four affect everyone. So we have to try and help people get out of these four miseries. Birth, death, old age and disease. And the only way possible is by reading Bhagavad Gita in association of devotees and following the process of devotional service. Otherwise, there is no possibility. You just keep coming and going in the 8,400,000 different species of lives. So we should try and utilize this human form of life to cultivate Krishna consciousness. So Rishabhdev, in his instructions to his sons, I think it is 551, if I'm correct, yes. Srimad Bhagavatam 551, Rishabhdev tells his 100 sons, don't work day and night just to maintain your body. That is like a dog's life. So we are fortunate that this place has been given by George Harrison, one of the members of the Beatles. But in the old days, I still remember, the song was, they had another song, A Hard Day's Night. I've been working like a dog. You know? It's a hard day's night, I've been working like a dog. So even at that time, they were writing those, singing those songs, implying that there's no need to work like a hog or a dog. And in the Bhagavatam, there's various quotes. So Rishabhdev is instructing his sons not to work day and night like the hogs and dogs. Your purpose in life is to cultivate Krishna consciousness, perform devotional service, and that will relieve you from this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. So there's so many quotes explaining, you know, that we should all try and do more devotional service and less material, fulfill less material desires. King Uttanapad, when he saw that his son, Dhruva, was mature enough, he decided to leave the palace. And that's called sort of vanaprastha, you know, retiring from family life. So he didn't worry about getting Dhruva Maharaj married first. He concentrated on his spiritual path. Let me continue with my spiritual advancement, and then things will follow. So marriage wasn't a very important criteria for him to advance in spiritual knowledge. But later on, he also was very happy to see his son married. So that's a normal Vedic custom, that you want to get your children married. In case of Kardama Muni, he is the son of Lord Brahma. And he was a very, very advanced sage, always meditating on Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna and Brahman. And he was meditating because Brahma said, now you should try and find a partner. So he actually meditated for 100 years. Was it 10,000? No, in the book it says, anyway, 10,000 years or 100 years, or it was quite a long time. So he meditated, and then Lord Brahma was pleased, and then he said, right, now is the time you can get married. So then he approaches Swayambhuva Manu, his other son, and his daughter is Devahuti. So Krishna actually is helping Devahuti to find a right partner, and Brahma is choosing the girl, you know. So his son, Kardamamuni, is getting married to Devahuti through Krishna's interference. So it's a wonderful arrangement. But anyway, when they serve each other, Devahuti is a very beautiful princess. She lost all her beauty, etc. But she was just serving and serving and serving Kadambamuni. And they had 9 daughters. All those 9 daughters were married to different sages. And then Kadambamuni said, right, I'm leaving. But Devahuti said, no. Who will look after me? So then they decide, okay. Kadambamuni says, the next child will be a son who is actually Krishna himself, in partial incarnation of Krishna, Kapil Dev. So anyway, they get a child who is Krishna, incarnation of Krishna. But then Kadambamuni is told by Krishna, by Kapil Muni, that, okay, now you can go, but remember, you know, the lotus feet, remember my lotus feet. So, Kadambamuni goes out into the forest and performing devotional service. So even though Krishna is in the home of Kadambamuni's house, he didn't decide to stay there because there's a higher aim. The higher aim and to teach other people is to leave the home at a certain age and perform devotional service. And that is called vanaprastha. So that is a wonderful example. But there, Krishna actually appeared in their family because Krishna saw how much devotion Kadambamuni was performing and how much devotion Devahuti was performing. So that is the lesson to learn, that if the wife actually serves the husband who is serving Krishna, then everything is fine. And then later on, if there is a grown-up son, then the mother is looked after. So women in the Vedic custom, tradition, before they are married, they are looked after by their father. And then after marriage, they are looked after by the husband. And then when they are grown up, they are looked after by the children, grown-up children. Usually it's the son. Because the girls, the daughters are married and they have no protection. So this is another little thing. Tapa, you know, Brahma did a lot of tapasya. These were the two words he learnt first, tapa. And he did, again, austerities for thousands of years. But the opposite, which I learnt only recently, pa-ta, it means water. So I didn't know that until I did some research. So we have to do some austerity. And as I said, in Vajramandala, you get this one bucket of water. And then you have to do everything, you know, in the morning. So included in that one bucket of water, you have to have a shower and get, you know, have a bath. And His Holiness Raja Dharmul Maharaj, he told me about 10 years ago, when he was staying just briefly at our house, home, he said, "Oh, you have continuous water in the shower. You know, not one bucket. You have continuous water. You know, you're just showering and showering. But in India, you know, we're just satisfied with one bucket." And he knows that I was with Maharaj in the early days. So we only get one bucket of water, and that's it. That's enough to have a bath. So anyway, those were the early days. So austerity. In the morning, one should try and get a cold shower, take a cold shower, because then that will actually give you a good start in the whole day. But we are now used to hot water, so everyone without hot water will wonder, you know, how am I going to get an early shower, you know, this early in the morning. So okay, unless you are not well, or very elderly, or, you know, it might affect your health, then one should seriously take a cold shower rather than a hot shower. So that's the instructions from Maharajis, but very few people follow, which is understandable also. I was in Leicester Temple for about maybe 2 years, and only one day, I think. Yeah, one day the heating wasn't working, so I was getting puzzled, you know, am I going to get a cold shower? Should I take a cold shower? But I was so lazy that I had a kettle in my room. So I boiled the water and then I put it in a bucket, and I had a hot shower again, you know. So I'm very lazy. But I don't know, I'm not a well person also, so maybe that's an excuse, but it's not a good excuse, not a good excuse. So other brahmacharis did have a cold shower. So they're very austere. I'm not that austere. So please forgive me. But anyway, things happen. So we mentioned about Uttanapad, leaving before marrying Dhruva Maharaj. We mentioned about Kardama Muni. And we mentioned about Rishabdev. He says to his 100 sons, perform devotional service, no need to work day and night. No need. We should use our body. This is a part of the Vanaprastha progress in spiritual life. What we should try and do is BMW. I think everyone's heard about this BMW car. But let's apply it in the spiritual world. Body, we should use physical activity under the spiritual master's order. So now, almost all spiritual masters will tell their disciples to go out, whether it's cold or hot or warm or summer, or, you know, sort of sun is shining or snowing or whatever. We go out and distribute books. So this December month is purely go out and distribute books, Srila Prabhupada's books. So that's use the body, physical activity. Mind, always think of Krishna. 24/7, always think of Krishna. So how do we do that? We read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Keep reading. By reading also, you are actually listening. Reading, listening, reading, listening. But through the ears, that's what you are doing. Once your ears get filled with Krishna Katha, it's slowly, with purification of the heart by chanting properly, it goes from the ear to the heart. And your heart, which is very hard, becomes softer. And then you have compassion for the soul and soul, forgotten souls and conditioned souls. So here, especially now, we are trying to distribute Bhagavad Gita to everyone we meet on the streets. We, out of this compassion which Srila Prabhupada had, he's written this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yeah? Bhagavad Gita as it is. He's been translating and sacrificing his sleep. He only slept for 2 hours while he was here in the manor. Only 2 hours he sleeps. Rest of the time he is translating. So we should help Srila Prabhupada. And he says he's so happy with people who distribute his books. So we should, you know, help that. And the words preaching, yeah, the mind, body, mind and words. Words, we should glorify Krishna everywhere. And that's exactly what we are trying to do. We have to glorify Krishna everywhere. So I'm going to stop there. I think time is up. If there's any questions, burning questions, please ask me, or comments, please tell me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna. Okay, no problem. Okay. Shyam Sundar Prabhu ki jai. He's turning 50. So he's another example of a devotee who will try and increase his spiritual activities and reduce material activities. And I heard recently that the BMF is also engaging him in serving Radha Gokulananda. So that's a good start. That's a good start. Any other comments, questions, please? Anything? Okay. I think we've covered most of it. So, at the age of 50 or 55 or whatever, try and think of increasing spiritual activities and reducing material activities and service. So that's all I'm going to end up with today. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai.